start the day, get on the line, and everybody say, "Woo! That was awesome. I love you guys." Welcome to the call. It's Thursday, February 9th, 2012. Just a great day to be alive. I'll tell you what, I'm excited about life. I was talking to a lady yesterday on a three-way call for one of my team members, and we were talking about the particular business that I'm in, and she's looking at, you know, partnering up with our team. And she heard about the product, she heard about the compensation plan, and she heard about the story, and then we get done talking about that stuff, and she says, "Well, Paul, you know, what about the romanticism? Like, what about the mission? Like, what about the overall sense of vision and, you know, purpose and where you're headed and all this kind of stuff?" And so I talked a little bit about that particular aspect about our company. But the other thing that I talked about, folks, after that was I talked about this call. You know, and this call isn't company specific. It really doesn't matter, you know, what company you're in. It really doesn't even matter if you're in network marketing or not. This call has a lot of romanticism behind it for me, because this call is about helping as many people as we possibly can change their lives through the formation of a definite major purpose, through the development of self-confidence in themselves, through the development of this incredible power, this often misunderstood power that we call faith, that we all can have access to in our lives if we but know how to develop it and if we know how to move forward with it. And this is a huge, huge mission for me, and I hope it is for everybody on this call, and I hope that we all feel like we're a part of something big. Many times on this call, we've talked about how this stuff is not taught in schools. This stuff is not taught anywhere, really, unless you dig for it and you know what books to look in. And so this really is, there's some romanticism behind this call for me, and I do feel like this is really something big, and I hope you feel like that. We're really together, we're delivering a message to the world that is very badly needed. There are so many people that are frustrated, confused, living in fear, living in worry, not sure which way to turn, you know, worried about the economy, worried about all these different things that we have to worry about, or we don't have to, but that we can worry about sometimes in life. And these things that we're learning on this call are really the solution. They're the secrets to the universe, so to speak. And they're the things that are not, you know, being promoted out there on the internet, you know, or anywhere else you look. You know, there's all these people out there marketing different things and buy this, buy that, change your life, fix this, you know, take this pill, lose this weight, like Dr. Ben was talking about. There's all these quick fixes, so to speak. And the solution to most all of these problems are the things we're learning on this call, the principles, the laws that we're learning that we can literally use to build a foundation. That's what we're doing here. We're building a foundation. If you have a solid foundation, if you have a solid foundation of faith in yourself, faith in your goal, self-confidence, a healthy self-image, you can build a huge building on that foundation. On the flip side, if you have a foundation that's built like a deck of cards with no foundation, that deck of cards is going to fall as soon as somebody flicks maybe one of the cards out from the bottom. And that's how I see a lot of the stuff out there in the world, the so-called solutions. It's like they're building these houses of cards with no foundation. And so I hope you can get the excitement. I hope you can feel the excitement for what we're doing together on this call. And it really is together. I want to get a quick message out, you know, something that that we can learn and think about throughout the day, and then open it up so that we can all contribute and help each other grow through this call. So that being said, let's jump into the message. We're finishing out the chapter, or the book, I should say, Think and Grow Rich. And the last section is entitled 57 Famous Alibis by Old Man If. People who do not succeed have one distinguishing trait in common. They know all the reasons for failure and have what they believe to be airtight alibis to explain away their own lack of achievement. Some of these alibis are clever, and a few of them are justifiable by the facts, but alibis cannot be used for money. The world wants to know only one thing: have you achieved success? A character analysis compiled a list of the most commonly used alibis. As you read the list, examine yourself carefully and determine how many of these alibis, if any, are your own property. Remember, too, the philosophy presented in this book makes every one of these alibis obsolete. If I didn't have a wife and family, if I had enough pull, if I had money, if I had a good education, if I could get a job, if I had good health, if I only had time, if times were better, if other people understood me, if conditions around me were only different, if I could live my life over again, if I did not fear what they would say, if I had been given a chance, if I now had a chance, if other people didn't have it in for me, if nothing happens to stop me, if I were only younger, if I could only do what I want, if I had been born rich, if I could just meet the right people, if I had the talent that some people have, if I dared assert myself, if I only had embraced past opportunities, if people didn't get on my nerves, if I didn't have to keep my... Excuse me. If I didn't have to keep house and look after the children, if I could save some money, if the boss only appreciated me, if I only had somebody to help me, if my family understood me, if I lived in a big city, if I could just get started, if I were only free, if I had the personality of some people, if I were not so fat, if my talents were known, if I could just get a break, if I could only get out of debt, if I hadn't failed, if I only knew how, if everybody didn't oppose me, if I didn't have so many worries, if I could just marry the right person, if people weren't so dumb, if my family were not so extravagant, if I were sure of myself, if luck were not against me, if I had not been born under the wrong star, if it were not true that what is to be will be, if I did not have to work so hard, if I hadn't lost my money, if I lived in a different neighborhood, if I didn't have a past, if I only had a business of my own, if other people would only listen to me, if, and this is the greatest of them all, I had the courage to see myself as I really am, I would find out what is wrong with me and correct it. Then I might have a chance to profit by my mistakes and learn something from the experience of others. For I know that there is something wrong with me, or I would now be where I would have been if I had spent more time analyzing my weaknesses and less time building alibis to cover them. Building alibis with which to explain away failure is a national pastime. The habit is as old as the human race and is fatal to success. Why do people cling to their pet alibis? The answer is obvious. They defend their alibis because they create them. A man's alibi is the child of his own imagination. It is human nature to defend one's own brainchild. Building alibis is a deeply rooted habit. Habits are difficult to break, especially when they provide justification for something we do. Plato had this truth in mind when he said, "The first and best victory is to conquer self. To be conquered by self is, of all things, the most shameful and vile." Another philosophy had the same thought in mind when he said, "It was a great surprise to me when I discovered that most of the ugliness I saw in others was but a reflection of my own nature." "It has always been a mystery to me," said Albert Hubbard, "why people spend so much time deliberately fooling themselves by creating alibis to cover their weaknesses. If used differently, this same time would be sufficient to cure the weakness. Then no alibi would be needed." in parting, I would remind you that life is a checkerboard and the player opposite to you is time. If you hesitate before moving or neglect to move promptly, your men will be wiped off the board by time. You are playing against a partner who will not tolerate indecision. Previously, you may have had a logical excuse for not having forced life to come through with whatever you asked, but that alibi is now obsolete because you are in possession of the master key that unlocks the door to life's bountiful riches. The master key is intangible, but it is powerful. It is the privilege of creating, in your own mind, a burning desire for a definite form of riches. There is no penalty for the use of the key, but there is a price you must pay if you do not use it. The price is failure. There is a reward of stupendous proportions if you put the key to use. It is the satisfaction that comes to all who conquer self and force life to pay whatever is asked. The reward is worthy of your effort. Will you make the start and be convinced? If we are related, said the immortal Emerson, we shall meet. In closing, may I borrow his thought and say, if we are related, we have, through these pages, met. The end. That almost brings tears to my eyes, folks, because as Napoleon reads that line or wrote that line, if we are related through these pages we have met, I truly feel that this man who lived many years ago who has already passed on to the afterlife has influenced my life in such a major way through sharing these principles through this book. And he says, you know, the reward is worthy of your effort. Will you make the start and be convinced? Less than 2 years ago, I made the start. I made the decision to, on a daily basis, repeat the major definite purpose. First, have a major definite purpose. That's one of the big things. Just have one. Most people don't have one. Most people, you ask, what are you doing? What are you about? Where are you headed? They have no idea. They're floating around, you know, just like a little piece of newspaper blowing in the wind, not knowing where they're going. Fortunately, Napoleon, through this book, inspired me to have a definite major purpose, inspired me to plant my flag in the sand and say, if it takes me all the days of my life, I will achieve my definite major purpose, and I know where I'm going, and I'm going to take action, and I'm going to move in that direction. And then every day I would repeat it. Just this morning I was listening to my definite major purpose and my self-confidence formula. And what happened for me is absolutely amazing. And he says, will you make the start and be convinced? Folks, I made the start, and I am convinced. I'm seeing the results. I've seen the results. This stuff works. It works. I want to ask you a question, and then I'm going to open it up for discussion. You know, a lot of different books, this book included, you know, The Science of Getting Rich, the lots of different, you research some of this success philosophy, and there's a thought that's repeated, a principle throughout a lot of these books, and that thought is, if you can hold a thought in your mind, whatever that thought is will come into your life, or stated another way, whatever you focus on, you get more of. Here's an interesting question for everybody on the call. What if that's true? What if it's true? Is it worth the effort? I believe it is. Bill, are you on the line with me, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm right here, Paul. Good morning.
Thoughts, my friend. Good morning. Great to hear your voice.
You know what? If I was not born Bill Hartrapp, darn it all. If times were better. I mean, we make up so many excuses to fail, it's not funny. Think about it. Think about your daily lives and think about, you know, you ask yourself, oh, right now is not the right time to call somebody. Yeah, if it's 6 a.m. where you live and it's 3 a.m. the person you're calling, that's not the right time to call. But other than that, call people that are on your time zone. You know, people make up so many conditions for doing certain things, and you've got to get rid of those conditions. You know, as you read through these ifs, and actually I got on the call, I was a little late this morning, I got on the call just as you started to read the closing chapter here, and listening to these ifs, man, so many of them even apply to me. If I did not fear what they would say, I mean, I had that problem in the beginning because my belief mechanism wasn't 100% yet. So I had to change my belief system so I wouldn't fear what they say. You know, so many of these others apply. If other people didn't have it in for me, I mean, that did apply at one time. If nothing happens to stop me, if I can only do what I want, what do you mean? We can do what we want whenever we want. That's the greatness about being self-employed. If I had been born rich. If you had been born rich, and I've said this before, you would not reap the benefits of what it's like to be wealthy. You would not appreciate it. You would not be able to enjoy it because you wouldn't understand the learning processes and the great feelings that you have from within. The success has to come from within first before you can succeed out in the open. And if you're just born into money, you never really push yourself. That's why we hear all the time about how these actors and actresses that fall into the millions of dollars, they can't hold marriages together. They can't operate their daily affairs because they don't know what they're doing. They're beside themselves because they don't have any of the embraces, any of the wonderful things that we're learning on this call to operate based off of. They're constantly reading over these ifs. And boy, Paul, these ifs are so powerful. And I challenge people to get on this call, that are on this call, to go through these ifs and change that if word to, I could save money. I could have a boss that appreciates me. You know, and change every single one around to a positive and then put it into their lives. You must have a definite chief aim. You must have a defining purpose. You must have daily affirmations that you listen to or read on a daily basis. We all need to change our programming. Our programming is what got us into the mess of negativity that we're in. And in order to get out of that, we must do self-programming to change that. So we need to do self-programming, self-affirmations, that put positive into our heads, constant positive. Because you know what? Ask yourself, where do your thoughts come from? Where do your thoughts come from? They're a gift. They're a gift from the heavens. And you get positive, helpful hints and thoughts when you start programming positive affirmations, self-affirmations into your mind. I know Paul all the time, whenever he's listening to his self-affirmations, he's thinking, he's daydreaming, he's thinking about the possibilities in the future, and oh my gosh, I could be doing this, and oh my gosh, I could be doing that, because it happens to me. Paul and I are doing this book. We are doing it. I'm just a little bit behind him. I mean, he started in our company, I guess, about 9 months before I did, and so he's 9 months ahead of me on this mission. And I'm telling you, I'm right on track with Paul at the four-month level. So I'm telling you people, you can be right there. You can have it all. Follow, think, and grow rich. Follow the self-confidence formula. I know Paul said this, but I'm reiterating it. You've got to follow the self-affirmations. You've got to follow auto-suggestion. That's chapter 2, chapter 3 in this book. Very, very important. Get the book, underline it, read it off the computer, do whatever you have to do. And Paul and I have been talking about the next book we're going to talk about, which is The Sciences of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. And what another great, awesome book. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that. I hope I didn't give away any secrets there, Paul. But if I could just get a break, I mean, I've said that before. If I could only get out of debt, I've said that before. I've said if I hadn't failed. But you know what? I look back on my failures as stepping stones, as that I learned from those failures so that I could succeed later on. A matter of fact, in one of my dissertations, I actually write about the fact that if I hadn't failed, I would not have had the successes. So don't look down on your failures. Look at them as stepping stones. If everybody didn't oppose me, if I didn't have so many worries, if I can marry the right person. None of these things have anything to do with you as a person, because you are great, you are awesome, you are a rock star. All of us have hidden talents and hidden abilities, and some of us haven't tapped them yet, and you will. You keep looking into it. You keep asking yourself, what am I passionate about? What do I really care about? Where do I see myself in 10 years? And answer the question, where do I see myself in 5 years? Where do I see myself in 1 year? And, you know, a lot of people say, well, why do you do 10-year and 5-year goals? And I always say, well, is 1 year's worth of this type of income, royalty income from network marketing, enough income for you to retire on? So that's why you have to have 5-year and 10-year goals. There's so many if-I's here that apply to me, and I know they apply to all of us. And so I challenge you to go down through this book and change a lot of these into the positives and look at them and see where, oh my gosh, can I ever relate to that? And then change it around. I mean, that's what we're doing on this call. We're picking apart the things that we do subconsciously, the things that we do on a daily basis. You know, we get up and we have our days, and it's the only day we have, because tomorrow's a promise, yesterday's gone. And so today, what am I going to do today? Am I going to sit down and pick up the phone? Am I going to make calls? Yeah, you better make calls, because you better start introducing your program to new people, because if you don't, then you're going to lose today. Today's going to be a total loss, because you're going to make up excuses for yourself. And I'm guilty of this too. I am so guilty of this. And you just can't do it. You have to set aside time that you're going to focus on completing your business and doing whatever it takes to accomplish it, and do it with a positive attitude. Do it with your voice lifted. As Mike Nelson said the other day, he likes to approach people with his definite purpose right there in front of him. He likes to speak it out. I mean, everybody's different. We do things differently. But as long as you're doing it and it works and it's working for you, it's positive, then go for it. Do what works for you. And stop, you know, you got to stop making excuses for yourself. I mean, I'm so guilty of this. I have to do it too. I'm no different than anybody else here on this call. And I'm sure Paul has also, just as human as the rest of us, gone through all these if-I's while he was going through his trials and tribulations, the 5 years leading up to his Think and Grow Rich findings. So, Paul, I lead it off to you. What a great, great book, by the way. This is the first time I ever read it like this, where I read it with a group of other people and got to mastermind with other people. I mean, I can't tell you how incredible this book and being on these calls for now 4 months, I believe. That's how long it's been. Yeah, September, late September I got on the call as a guest originally, and then I started to do this with Paul. It has changed my life, incredibly changed my life. I mean, I have admitted to things that I would never admit to myself, let alone a bunch of people that I don't know, that I don't know in person anyway. It's led me to do auto-suggestions. It's led me to record my self-affirmations, thanks to a little help from Paul, and then creating those. Now I listen to those once a day, no matter what, and then sometimes twice a day. And sometimes even more than that, I'll listen to them in my car. And so that's constantly feeding me ideas, because each time you listen to something, something's going to trigger something in your mind. Something's going to do something that is said in your positive affirmations is going to trigger something different each time. And you're going to find yourself coming up with tremendous ideas, great ideas. It's really fun. It's really fun. And when you start programming yourself to think positive, you watch all these other little things that used to bother you. You like, all of a sudden, wow, like Paul made the comment. He said, geez, you know, problems would come into my life and I'd have to make a decision. And I used to take forever to make decisions. I'm finding this with myself now. I'm able to fly through these decisions. I'm able to say, okay, that's done. Let's go this way. And that's the way we're going. Bada bing. It's over with. No thinking about it, no feeling sorry for myself, no down and out about it, just boom, that's done. Let's move on in this direction, and we're off to the races. And I'm telling you, this book has so thoroughly changed my life. It's not Paul that's changed my life. It's me. It's each one of us that have changed our lives because we're making the commitment to ourselves to be on this call every day. So by being on this call, you're actually doing for yourself what this book basically asks of us to do. Follow it, detail it, underline it, go through the things which really you can relate to, and then change them. And you will be better for it. We're all better for it just by being on the call, but you'll be even better for it if you follow the book to the T. Paul, I can't thank you enough, my friend. You're a rock star, in my opinion. I love you, and I just am so ecstatic and excited to be here and to actually say that I just finished on February 9th the Think and Grow Rich book. Again, actually reading it out loud for other people as well as yourself, it's just been an exciting experience for me, and I've learned more in this process than I would reading the book on my own, because we're constantly getting, you know, interruptions of one kind or another. So this is a true commitment. It's been wonderful, and I love you for it. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Bill. Great words, and I'm excited to have finished this book again. Now only 76 more times, and you'll be equal to Bill Farley, former CEO of Fruit of the Loom. So let's go ahead and open up the lines here.
75 in my case.
Okay, folks, star 6 to unmute your line.
Good morning.
Love to hear from you. Good morning. Is that Doc Fran?
Yes, thank
you.
With a speakerphone, and that creates the feedback. Well, good morning. I have two quick comments, and then I'd like to pick up a little bit of that thread we were talking about yesterday about what do you do if your spouse is counterproductive or counterintention to what you want to do to create your life. First, the reason we know when you come on the phone is because there's a change in the force. the second thing, and just a real quick comment, I love the you know, I love the discussion this morning and the topic on success, because that's really what we're looking about. And there's two things about success, and one is that success is not a point that one arrives at in time. Your life is a success. And it's a continuum of success. The very fact that all of us are on this call is an indication that you have made many choices that have led to success in your life. And so we're just unfolding. We now have a new goal, and we will define success in that goal however we choose to. And what's really fun is when you acknowledge yourself for the successes that you have already accumulated in your life. So most of us tend to look back on our lives and focus on things that we thought we wanted to accomplish or achieve and did not. And so we tend to focus on a string of unachieved goals or unachieved objectives. And that's a really counterproductive way to look at your life, and particularly counterproductive in the face of what we all know now through this call in terms of how to look at moving from where you are right now to where you want to go right now. So, you know, if you find yourself doing that, acknowledge it, that you're doing it, and make a decision that you're going to eliminate that negative self-talk. Because negative self-talk, as we all know, is what really stops all of us in our tracks. I'd like to pick up that thread yesterday about, you know, spouses. How do we deal with a spouse that's not on the same page that we are? And, you know, marriage is an agreement. And marriage is probably the most important agreement that you will make in your life. And when you go into marriage, you do make an agreement that that person is important in your life and that your decisions are now required to incorporate that person's viewpoints. That's one of the challenges in marriage. You're no longer a free agent in that sense. And so, you know, our leaders offered some excellent solutions yesterday and tips on how to do it. And basically, they're distilled down into just have success, i.e. make money, and that will make the problem go away. And a lot of times, that's not that's not the problem. People's behaviors are always, and I want, you know, you can write this down, people's behaviors are always motivated by an unmet need mm-hmm. in that person. And how do you find out what that need is? Well, the simplest and most direct way is to ask them. They can articulate it. Sometimes they can verbalize it. And you may be surprised, but the need that they are trying to have met, and when you have unmet needs, you become fearful. And so that every bit of counterintention that people manifest, either in ourselves, within ourselves, or externally to us that we are sensitive to and allow to affect us, is always based on a fear that they see. Now, you know, I'm a very firm proponent of warm market development of your business, because there's no doubt in my mind or in my experience that 95% of all of the stable business that every one of us will ever create will come out of a small group of warm market individuals that we successfully brought through the system and brought them into this business with us. And so, but there is a group of people out there whose sole intention is to protect you from your own enthusiasm and to keep you right where you are. And that group of people is called your spouse, your close personal friends, and your family. And there's many reasons beyond the scope of this little discussion as to why that is. It's all well-intentioned, but we've all heard the old expression that the road to hell is paved with good intention. So what you need to do, the answer is really communication, as it is in all challenges in life. When you have a challenge with someone, and the more significance you place on that person or that challenge, or the more threat that you perceive in that challenge, there is an increasing need to have communication with that person. And the finest form of communication is spoken. Written communications, email communications, things that we rely on for expediency, sometimes are misconstrued. People can't understand the intention that you have. The only way they really know the intention of your comment is the tone of your voice, inflection, and the posture that you have when you are delivering that message. So if you have a problem with your spouse with regard to this industry, and trust us, we've all learned the hard way that this industry does engender a justifiable fear a lot of times, because all too often, we all know the stats, 80% of us don't make a lot of money in traditional home-based business plans. The track record may be that you have spent a lot of money in the past, and so your spouse does have a real fear that they're trying to balance the budget, keep the books, you know, pay the bills, etc. And so you need to get an agreement. You need to discuss with them why the company that you're with right now, in your belief, is different, will be better, and will accomplish the goals that you're trying to accomplish together to create fulfillment, stability, financial security in your lives. You're not doing this to create stress and a division in your marriage. And work it through till you come to an agreement. You either agree to disagree, but you agree that the other spouse, and it's not always the wife, you know, a lot of times the wife is the active partner in these businesses. But until a person feels acknowledged that their needs have been expressed, understood, and agreed to, or an agreement to disagree, or a compromise agreement, that primary need, you will always have counterintention, and counterintention is always counterproductive. So back to you guys.
Thank you, Doc.
Wow, Doc, nothing to add to that other than thank you so much for being on the call. We really appreciate your wisdom and your experience and your ability to articulate those principles in a fashion that is easily understood. Thank you so much. Anyone else? *6 to unmute your line. And if you would, once you've spoken, please press again *6 to mute your line back out to keep the static off.
I just want to add something to that, to what Doc Fran said, that I agree with everything he said. And I think, is Denise Bowther on the line here?
Yes, Denise? I am. I'm right here.
Denise, would you please tell the group what you told me yesterday? I think it's very profound and just very important to state as well, because it's coming from a female perspective, and I just thought it was very helpful.
Well, let's see, where do I start? In regards to, you know, a married couple, you know, I spent many years in a very successful business and was a team player in a business. And but the thing that I realized the most was is that when a husband comes to a wife and says, I really and sincerely sits down and speaks from his heart, that this is something that just is heavy on his heart, desires that he knows he can do it, but he needs his wife's support 100%. And he lifts her up daily and edifies her and says, I appreciate so much your support for supporting me in this. And just and him coming home knowing that he has that support from his wife will just, you know, move his business that much faster because he knows he's got this team player. Versus the opposite side, knowing that he's, oh my gosh, I got to go home. My wife's not on board with me, you know. And it's so important for him to take the next step up, which is to edify her every day, come home, even though it might not be 100%, but at least he can just, you know, tell her, you know what, I know this is hard, but I appreciate this so much for you encouraging me, your support, just giving her the love that she needs. Because men really get their success out of business. They thrive on it. They move. Women do. They do get their success out of business. But women also need to know that security of that love from their spouse. And so me personally, I'm speaking from my heart because I went through all of this. And it was the more I knew that I was supporting, the more I knew, the more encouraged I got, came up with ideas. All of a sudden, you know, things changed. All of a sudden, I was on the same team. But I've also seen it to where, you know, I've encouraged women, say, you know, you really need to be, you know, right by your husband's side. Or, and I've told men, you know, edify your wife. Tell her how much you care and take her out and say, this is so special. It's so, it's just encouraging to know that you give that 100% into your wife's heart. You'd be surprised what you'll get back. And that's what I was telling Bill yesterday. And so, and I see it, you know, just out and around where I can see a wife not being supportive on her husband's team. And that's not what marriage is about. Just like the doc was saying, it's, you know, it's team effort. It's communication. 99.9% of everything is communication. And so, and to look into your wife's eyes and just speak that. And, let her know that your struggles and your wins and the things that you're going through. And you'd be surprised what a wife will give back when she knows that her, she is loved. And because love is the greatest gift. That's all I can say.
Thank you so much, Denise. That was so beautifully said. And yesterday you said it just as beautifully. And I just want to say to Evan, if he's out there, because he's the one who asked the question, and all I can say is, you know, exactly what Denise said and Doc Fran said, communication, looking into her eyes and telling her that you want this, but you want her to be behind you and that, you know, that you love her, that you do anything to please her, and you certainly don't want to do anything to upset her. And, you know, get her support. That's how you get her to get behind you. And, and love, as Denise said, I mean, as long as you show that she's number one and she's first and she's the most important to you, that everything else is second, I believe she'll get behind you, Evan. And that's all I have to say. I don't know if you're on the call, but Paul, I'll hand the call back to you.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yeah, Melvin, good morning. Go ahead, sir.
I'm going to go ahead and step on some toes here. I agree with a lot of what each of you are saying, but been in this field now for 42 years, and I've got to let you know that much of what you're going to get accomplished, even with your mate, is going to have a great deal to do with your belief in yourself, your belief in what you're doing, and your willingness and your ability to stick to it. That will bring that other person aboard. that have that person join with you, that will have that person believe that this person is sincere, that they mean what they say, that they're not playing with this. A lot of that is necessary, too. And you won't get that just having that person join with you. You're going to get a great deal of that by taking a stand and by sticking to it and stay the course that will have that person come aboard. So it's not a matter of just having someone come aboard with you and then you get it done. Oftentimes it's you go ahead and get it done and they'll come aboard with you. I hope this makes sense to a lot of you out there. Back to you, Paul.
Thanks, Melvin. Great thoughts for everybody to think about. And, you know, that's this is a mastermind. Ideas from different people for us to all think about and, you know, choose and select the ideas that are going to fit for us in our specific situations. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Star 6? Come
yeah,
on
back
out.
Yeah, Paul, if I Paul?
Yes.
I think you mentioned that about, every shoe doesn't fit everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
That you were mentioning that about the shoe. You know, there's some other things that I wanted to say separate from this, but it ties into this. One major problem and that we all have that we have to work on and tackle more than anything else is laziness. Laziness is the thing that a lot of us might think we're not lazy, but even thinking requires work. And most people do not want to work. In fact, it's the dirtiest four-letter word there is W-O-R-K. And people work to avoid that and try to get away from it. If you find yourself saying things like, I feel, get away from I feel. I feel generally is looking for and taking the easy way. Start doing not what you want to do, but what you need to do. To the degree you do what you need to do rather than what you want to do, do you set yourself free? And do you become this kind of person that person can truly believe in and get behind? So, you know, you're not going to have a spouse get behind you if they see all the weakness, if they see that you don't stay the course, if they see you don't really mean what you're saying. So, believe me, once again, we're right back to truly working on ourselves. Back to you, Paul.
Very good stuff. Star 6, anyone else?
Paul, Mike Nelson.
Hey, Mike.
Hey. I think where my problem was, and I'm going to come out here and say my past is dictating to my partner what her fears are. So, like... And I here again, I find myself standing in a forest of oak trees, enjoying everything everyone's saying. Your strongest partner is your wife, and it can be or your spouse, and it can be either positively or negatively affecting your business. You have to sit down, like everybody's saying, sit down, have a heart-to-heart, start dreaming together, what if... Not take what if out of the conversation and prove to her by doing. You can get excited. You can get excited and, you know, I've seen this before. Here we go again, you know. My wife said to me last night, you know, you're doing it to me again. I said, what's that? She said, you've got me dreaming again. And she said, you had me doing this one other time in the other vehicle that you were driving, and it didn't work. I just hope the vehicle you're in right now works. So guess whose responsibility it is? It's not hers. She believes in me, but she believes that it can also fail. So the only way you're going to get to your dreams, and mine are big, is to just get out there and do it. Every day. That's all I got.
Mike, I love you, and that was one of the most beautiful things I've heard. to hear your wife say, you've got me dreaming again. I mean, how powerful is that? Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Hey, Paul. It's Mike.
Yes.
Hobbs.
Mike.
Yep.
Hey, how you doing, man? You
doing
in the gym?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Outside.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Cool. Well, I just wanted to, it's just a short little thing, but, you know, a lot of times if your wife doesn't believe in you or, you know, whatever, you know, that could be rubbing off in the rest of your business, you know. Like the first person that should believe in you, or you should, you know, convince to be in your business, I guess, would be your spouse, because that's your best friend. That's the person. And if you can't do it to her, then that's probably affecting your outside business too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can be looking at that and just working on your own personal development and kind of getting your belief level higher so that you can actually, you know, instill belief in your wife, and that would probably instill belief in everybody else as well.
Hey, Paul?
Yes.
What he had to say is very important, and one of the things we've got to understand here is what comes first, the chicken or the egg? How is she to believe in me if I don't believe in me? So
yeah.
Many of you have to understand, if you don't get to work on yourselves, now, this could be just the opposite of a wife and not getting the support of the husband as much as it could be the husband not getting the support of the wife. But all of you better wake up to the fact that you need to go to work on yourself, because that's what a lot of that lack of belief in you comes from. And until you believe in you, and it's not the wife that's first. It's you that are first. If you don't learn to become your own best friend, if you don't start believing in you and get behind you, don't expect anybody else to do it. So that's first and foremost. Work on yourself, get your act together, and the more she will believe in you, because she will see this in your mannerism, in your actions, in the things, not just that what you say, but what you do. So, you know, once again, that chicken and the egg thing, and I'm telling you, it's you. You get... Get on top of you. Get your act together. The more you believe in you, the more she will believe in you. Back to you, Paul.
Yeah, great. Mike and Melvin, excellent points. You know, it goes back to that analogy at the beginning of the call, building the foundation. If we're running around trying to get our spouse, everyone else in the world to believe in us, and we don't even believe in ourselves, and we don't even believe what we're about, it's a house of cards. And we might trick some people, but it'll all come falling down. If we don't have that foundation of belief in ourselves, just exactly what Melvin's talking about, be your own best friend, learn to love who you are. Don't delude yourself. Don't love yourself for false reasons. Learn to be the person that is growing, that is learning, that is adding value, that is improving on a daily basis, that's, you know, doing things like hopping on a call like this, and learn to love that person, and learn to love who you are becoming and who you're going to be in the future. And you're in doing that, you're building a foundation. People will believe in you. People will follow you if we get this part right. So just fabulous. Just great stuff. Anyone else?
Oh, yeah. I just want to add in, it's not that you're stepping on anybody's toes, Melvin. That was 100% correct. But you must include your wife. You must include your partner in what you're doing. And by, you know, and Evan said yesterday that his wife just doesn't, you know, believe in him at this time. And I understand that, yes, we must take care of building ourselves up and learning to make ourselves great, and so that we can stand like oaks personally. But she needs to come along for the ride. And that's important. And that's what I was saying. She needs to be known. It needs to be known. She needs to be told that she is a part of this too, and that I want her to be a part of it, that I love her, and that I would do anything to please her. At the same time, though, I really believe in this, and I believe this is going to change our lives together as one. And if she's there and a part of it, then at least he can know that and take it inside as he continues to build and work on himself. And that's what I have to say.
Wow, thanks, Bill. Anyone else out there? We have 5 minutes left. With
yeah,
this
is Marlies. Can I also?
Marlies, good morning. Marlies, yes, please. Go ahead.
Because he is just the opposite here. It is, again, like Denise. I am the one who always worked a home-based business for many, many years. And my husband has been a wonderful support system. But I really also want to caution about something that may also ring true or be valuable for some of those particular issues. As supportive as he was, we really have to also be careful to not be too consumed. We can always be committed. Many times I heard that also from other leaders. Be committed, but not consumed. It is very, very important to honor special times, to go along with to find out what is also important for your spouse. Like my husband then put down a rule, because the telephone was ringing all the time. If it wasn't ringing, I was on the phone returning calls. So he said, when we are eating during dinner time, it can go to the voicemail, but you're not going to pick up the phone. You're not going to make a phone. It can wait. Let's have this dinner in peace and quiet together so we can also have a conversation, etc. So I really needed to learn, as excited as I was, to kind of set some boundaries. And that would be very helpful for both of us also in our relationship. And because, as you know, with a home-based business like this, we can be going 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And that also puts our own personal life out of balance. And that is the beauty, again, of having home-based business, that we do have the flexibility, we have the opportunity to set our own hours and make those really very productive hours, but also allow ourselves to have all that wonderful extra time when other people would be working, and we can do something special with our children or our family or with a friend. And so I just also wanted to point out that particular issue. And if I can also bring something else up, I'm like poor now, too, that I feel like just wanting to tell the world about this call before I even mention anything about our wonderful business. And so I called a friend last night, and I was wondering whether this may have been also discussed before you started with this call, since I'm still so brand new to it. And I want to go back, actually, and keep listening to all the previous ones. But she said, are you familiar with the book that Napoleon Hill wrote? That was the real classic. That was the original one, unabridged. And that the one that we are actually, you know, been working with, that is the more the watered down kind of version of it. And the other one is apparently is called The Law of Success in 16 Lessons, or when you look on Amazon, it's also called The Law of Success, The Master Wealth Builder's Complete and Original Lesson Plan for Achieving Your Dreams by Napoleon Hill. Are you familiar with that? Have you also read that particular one?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to actually also getting that. From what I heard, she either read about it or heard it on some CD that actually Henry Ford did not want these principles to be available to the broad public. He really wanted to keep it for the elite only, and basically bought up the rights for it and all the books for it, so it would not be available. And then he just then went ahead and just published the next version, the one that we are very familiar with. So that's why it would be pretty fascinating to see in which way, you know, there may be a difference, or what may have been, excluded, you know, from the later version.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I'll have to definitely do some research on that, because if the watered down version works this well,
yeah.
What the full version will do. Thank you, you, Marlise. Really appreciate you.
Yeah.
Anyone else here?
So
we got
much.
1 minute left. Or a couple.
My friend here, listen, one quick word from Rick Martin here.
And also, everybody, star six, if you're done speaking, we're getting some feedback. Rick, I think that feedback might be your line, buddy.
Is it? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very loud. Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and close the call, Rick. If you could press star six, that's a little bit too noisy. We're not gonna be able to hear anything you're saying. I apologize.
I star six it out again.
All right, folks. Well, listen, if you want to continue the discussion here, make any comments, please visit Facebook. We are Think and Grow Rich. I want to thank everyone for the wonderful discussion today and challenge each of you and myself. Today is a gift. How it turns out is up to us. Let us move forward with faith in ourselves, faith in the infinite. Let us have a plan. Let us take action on that plan. Let us be persistent. Let us be attached to the big result and not the little teeny results that are going to come throughout the day, and we will achieve those definite major purposes, my friends. I love you. I appreciate you. I believe in you. Let's get out there and make it a great day, and we'll see you back tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.